For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Connect, solve painful problems, raise amazing adults, and have healthy families. Welcome to the Sean Donahue Show. Jordan and I do this podcast because we want your family to be close and connected. And we want you to feel empowered and equipped in your most important job, the most important job in the world. Let's go deeper than this podcast. Head to my website, parentingmodernteens.com, and get my email straight to your inbox. And when you're ready to go deep and get serious coaching from me, join me in my VIP membership. Parents are teachers, and every home is a school. So teach well, love well. All right. Let's have some fun together. What's up, my fellow parents? You know, when we entitle these podcasts, we got to always think about like a good name that would attract people, a good name that says, hey, I want to listen to that episode. So Jordan, we got an episode here called Power Struggles. I think this is something that is going to be very popular and relatable to everyone who's got a baby or a teen and a heartbeat.
We all go through them. It reminds me of that show that Tim the Toolman Taylor, more power.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But
power.
Really, we need less power struggles. We right. need more chill out, bro. We need more like yes. zen, right?
Yes.
Because we don't have enough of that.
Oh my gosh. All right, let me ask you a question. When you think of power struggles, what are some things you think of? Because, right, we're actually going to break down that word power, like you just said. But I mean, these are so annoying. This has got to be one of the worst parts of parenting. It's like you tell your kids to do something and they don't do it. You're getting baited into an argument, or they're whining, or they don't do it, or they lie about it,
right.
or they're complaining. Mm-hmm. Ah!
Yeah, they say no, or mine, right? When they start out when they're really young, right? They're not sharing their toys. And then of course you get a little older and then it's like, I don't want to do that. And well, it's like, well, you're under my roof and these are my rules and you are technically mine. So I will tell you what to do. So then us as parents are like
right.
getting a reality check. Like, well, hold on a second. These are their own people. So
yes.
Yeah. I think we all need to kind of step back and try and figure out, you know, what are the power struggles we need to really, dive into and try yep. to figure out how to make them chill out or what are the ones that like, that are really no big deal, and we're making them a big deal.
Good. You know? That's a good insight. Let's remember that. I don't have that in my notes because if you're listening, I'm going to give you 7 action steps on how to thrive with power struggles, how to diffuse them, and that's not in it, but that should be. Like,
no,
picking
you
your battles
say it all the time.
Wisely.
You pick your battles. Yeah,
yeah.
You say it all the time, and
really
I
good.
Think a lot of times we need to figure out what's worth the fight or the battle.
Yeah.
Coaching.
And I actually filmed another recent podcast on my own, so it should be coming out around the same time. So if you love this episode, you need a lot of tools for power struggles, go to and look around this time for something that has power struggles in the name. You know, and you know what I'm kind of thinking about in a good and kind of a sad way? I'm like in a really cool season of parenting because, Jordan, I got a 19. I've got who's about to move back home. That's big news.
Oh, really?
She's been out on her own. She's been in business. She's thriving in business so much. She's in the Dominican Republic right now because she was so good at her sales position. She won a trip to the DR and she's only 19, but she's like, hey, I'm thriving in corporate life and sales life, but I just don't think this is what I want to do. I want to move back home and I want to figure out who I am and I want to get healthy and I want to slow down. And we're like, come on home, baby girl. Come on home. We got a spot for you. Let's snuggle up, me and you. Let's watch some sci-fi movies like the old days together. And so, season, I got 19, I got 14, I got 7. So I got power struggles like all around, you know, different styles of them. When you think of power struggles, what are some things you think of?
I think, you know, first, let's go to the common ones. They're fighting with the food on the table, right? What they don't want to eat, and then you cooked, so then you're like, oh, do I have to make them a separate meal? So let's talk about eating. How about, you know, going to bed on time? How about waking up on time for school, going to school? Yeah. Tech, obviously that's big. Power struggles with the iPad or with the phone. You know, all of us can relate to that. Video games, right?
Oh.
When we were kids, we'd play them all the time. You know, turn off that game. It's time to come down for dinner. you know, I think those could be some of the main ones I think about.
One of my favorite jokes from when we had the comedian on from Wayne County Life, Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
He was making jokes about crumbs. And then like 10 minutes later, we asked him like, hey, man, what's really hard about parenting? And we got all serious. He's like, you know what? It's crumbs. I was like, I thought you were joking.
I thought you were joking about crumbs. Dude, it can be hard for some people who like are normal, like a clean house is what we want. But it's hard with kids. They play with toys. They don't put them back. Uh-huh. It can be difficult.
How about here's some common ones? Of course, if you know me, I'm one of the things that just gets under my craw, man, is that those bedtime struggles. I just had one last night. It's just so hard. I just freaking hate it. Bedtime struggles. How about with your kids of all ages, the chore struggles, or they're like, I forgot, or, I forgot, or you didn't tell me when you already know you told them two times.
Yeah, I told you to put your clothes away. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I know. I hate that. That's always difficult. We have a thing. It's not really a power struggle, but we've got a little pet that we got our daughter, it's her job to take care of the pet, right? So, for those of you who have dogs or cats and the kids want it, you know, it's like, hey, you're going to clean up after it. You're going to have to walk it. But then, you know, originally they're like, yes, of course I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to love it forever. And then you have it for about 2 weeks or 2 months, and then they forget about it. And like, oh, really? So I don't want to have to go walk the dog.
Oh, my gosh. Chinchilla. Such a common power struggle. How about this one? The sibling fighting, but then they blame. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything.
I hate that.
And you're like, yes, you did. I saw it. Or like, what? I wasn't there. That. And then you get into that power. Like, you want an apology. You don't know who did what. Who he said, she said. That is annoying. How about this one?
Not only is it annoying, it hurts my feelings. You know, like I tell my twins all the time, I'm like, hey, you guys realize that the more you work together, the more you can get away with, the more you're going to thrive.
Right.
Like, I'll tell you what, like me and mom want you guys to be successful and you're going to get in trouble. But honestly, if you're working together, not fighting, I might not be as mad as I would if you were fighting the whole time.
Yeah. I say this on a podcast about once a year. Now it's time. There's like different versions of me. All right. There's the good version and then there's other versions. And one of the worst versions of me, I think it's finally dead. I think I've finally learned. And that's the power struggle. And that's the Sean version that comes when you're on a camping trip and it's time to clean up. Talking to my kids and even my wife, that is the worst version of me. And I think I finally learned how to grow up and be a nice, gentle parent, because it just gets under my craw when it's time to clean up camping trip or team effort and the kids are dragging their feet, man. That's tough.
Yeah, I think cleanup in general, right? Cleaning up your bedroom, cleaning up the basement, cleaning up your toys outside. It's like you're going to play with them. You guys got to have some responsibility. Cleaning up the dinner table.
What's interesting about parenting too is we can kind of say these things and we can giggle a little bit. But then when you talk about power struggles with teenagers, no one's really giggling.
No, because we're talking about it. More complicated.
We're talking about we're talking about curfew and a teenage coming home an hour late, 2 hours late. I've got some clients that are in the thick of that right now. I'm helping them to solve that problem. We're talking about teenagers who don't want to come out with, you know, when grandma and grandpa come over or aunt and uncle, where they're just saying nasty things about their family members. We're talking about teenagers who's got bad grades, D's and S. We might be talking about power struggles regarding drugs, alcohol, driving dangerously. Right. And just these are hard. So whatever brings you to this episode today, I'm glad you're here and you are not alone. And we're going to do what Jordan and I do. We're going to try to make you giggle. We're going to try to educate you and we're going to have some fun.
Educate. And John's got some great tips for us, because we're all there. We all have to try and figure out what it is that's happening and you know, how much of a struggle do we really want it? Because the reality is our kids aren't perfect. We're not perfect. It's not like they're going to say yes or no, ma'am, forever and just do what we tell them to do.
That's a good transition, actually, because let me just put you on the spot. All right. If you had a power struggle with somebody at work, maybe you have. How would you handle it? Just let me put you on the spot. If you had a power struggle with somebody at work, how would you respond? Everyone think about your answer for a second. Jordan, how would you respond? Have you ever had that? And how did it go? You know, you're a nice, mature, successful dude. So how would most adults handle a power struggle at work?
Well, you would hopefully just go and talk to a colleague or your boss. But the reality is a lot of us adults are still children at heart. So we play the subliminal game is that the right word? Where you do things, talk back about, you know, bad about someone behind their back, and it can get so annoying. You still play the childish games where you're trying to, you know, work your way up the corporate ladder. So you're going to backstab this person. But I think if you're a normal adult and you can really think about it,
right,
and you have a problem with someone doing something, you either have to suck it up and do it because they're your boss.
Yeah, yeah.
You either complain, which then you're the complainer.
Yeah.
Or you can go and talk to them like an adult. Say, talk, hey, I've got a problem with this and can we figure it out?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, that's, I'm just, I could see myself being like, hey, like, I don't really, you know, I want to talk to you about this because like, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing with work. This is kind of like my area. And it seems like, you know, you're kind of coming into my area or we're having these issues. Can we talk it out? And then you would hope that the other person would respond well. Doesn't that sound right?
Yeah, but that never happens, right? Then you create more turmoil, right? And then it's like after the conversation, it gets even more awkward.
Right. This is why this episode is for parenting. But the tools you're going to use are going to be so good to help you in any power struggle that you have. Because I'd like to think that if we have these power struggles outside our home, I'd like to believe that all of us, everyone listening, would try to handle it with love, with intention, with kindness, with maturity, right? Yeah. Let's all like give each other the benefit of the doubt. But then when we come to the power struggles in our home, don't we all just act like bozos sometimes? When we join the circus,
we
are adults who are acting like children.
Yeah. I mean, at what stage? I think it's, you know, it's as we get older and we get wiser, we learn to like hold thy tongue. We learn to just like listen and witness and not necessarily blurt everything out. I think it's when we're younger, we're still trying to figure it out. Some people, it takes a long time for them to actually get to that maturity where they know how to handle a situation that can be very awkward.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just talking to my grandma when I was in Arizona last week and, you know, they've had this tension with their neighbor for decades.
Decades.
Right? And it gets so hard when like you're living next to someone and there's tension there and your neighbors and you have to try and be cordial to one another.
Parents, I just want you to know we make this podcast because we really love you. We love you. Jordan and I love you. We love your family. We love your kids. We want you to be the best parent you could be. So this might be an episode. You get out a pen and take some notes because I know I've said this before. You can literally use these tools in your home together today. And if you want to go deeper with me, if you need more tools, well then come and join me in my membership. The families that are in my membership, their lives are changing every day. They're getting these tools, they're role-playing it out with me. We're talking about their kids at different ages. They're using them and it's incredible. So come deeper. But Jordan, all right. Here we go. Here we go.
It works. It actually works. This stuff works, man. It's good stuff.
Thank you. All right, man. Yeah. All right, man. So we got some work to do because if we're going to solve power struggles, what I realize is that we've got to learn how to really talk to ourselves in those hot button moments and then how to talk to our kids. So what I thought would be helpful is I just put like kind of into part one to part two. And part one is how to talk to herself.
Great. I'm a beautiful human being. Love people. I won't hit my kid. I won't yell at my kid. Yeah. I won't get super mad at my kid.
That's actually good because point one, how to talk to yourself is you got to realize to thrive in this, we've got to have a leader mindset. Our kids are never going to take a class on the most important subjects in life. They're never going to take class on how to regulate my emotions, how to stand up for myself in a respectful way, how to talk to my sibling in a nice, loving way, how to have a healthy relationship with screens. This is our job to help them thrive with their power, with their emotions and all that stuff. This is our job.
Yeah. And it can be a little intimidating if we think about it like that, but it's so true. Like, the greatest teacher for our kids ultimately is us, even though we think that they're not listening all the time and watching all the time. They are. They're sponges. Yes. They're taking everything in.
They are. You know what I think good leaders do is good leaders realize that it's never about what it's about. Like, every Pixar movie you've watched is never really about like what it's about. It's a cartoon about something, a princess or a girl on an island or an adventure. It all has a deeper meaning. In fact, most of the best movies I've ever watched have a deeper meaning. All right, I'm going to think of a really good movie you like. I'm going to think of one. Forrest Gump. All right, on the surface, tell me your movie. I'll go. What is Forrest Gump about?
Oh, it's about someone who has got a little bit of a learning disability who's able to surpass everybody else in society from what society thought he would do.
That was good. That was deep.
He's able to just meet the president, you know, rock a company, run across the globe. Yeah. He could do anything.
Well said, man. 5-star movie recap. Or like right there, on the surface, it's about a guy going on adventures. But what it's really about is what Jordan just said.
Yeah.
It's about how, you know, good guys, sometimes they don't finish last. Good guys finish first. About how the innocence of a single man can just change the world.
Yeah.
It's a movie. Let's play with me. Favorite movie.
So there's a movie that I've gotten made fun of for liking before, but you know what? You can judge me all you want, ladies and gentlemen. There's a movie with Gerard Butler called Chasing Mavericks. It's a surf movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On the surface, it's a surf movie. Yeah.
It's a surf movie on the surface.
It's a good movie.
One time I interviewed Josh Brolin and I told him that was one of my favorite movies. He thought I was just a jokester. I'm like, dude, it's good. And I like it because it's not just a surf movie. Even though I enjoy the surfing aspect, it's a movie based off of a child who is fatherless, who finds this neighbor who loves this sport that he loves, introduces it to him, becomes a father-like figure for him. And ultimately they join this bond together that I thought is amazing.
Super cool.
I love that movie.
And Mavericks is a surf spot that's actually based not far from my house here in Northern Colorado. Point one is have a leader mindset when it comes to power struggles, right? So like if you have a lot of power struggles in your house, you're the leader. That's on you. Like it means you need to do something better. You need to do something different. Point two is realize that everyone wants power. You want power. Mm-hmm. Your children want power. Your kids have very little power in their life. A bell rings and tells them to go from class to class.
Mm-hmm.
A parent is telling them when to wake up, when to clean, and even when to eat. A parent tells someone when to eat. Would you like me telling you when you can and cannot eat?
Right.
Right.
And it's like, no, I want to be in charge of myself.
Right.
You know what I've noticed with leaders, though, is the best leaders surround themselves with people who are smarter than them, with people that are maybe more financially viable than them.
Yeah.
They can see where a company needs help. They can see where their families need help and ultimately let other people step up to the plate, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the best leaders have us figure out, they're not going to tell me what to do. Hey, well, this is what you need to do to be successful. No. Right. You need to figure out your why and then you can become successful, right?
That is so good. That leads us to point three. Point three is about you have a mindset of sharing power. Sharing power. And if you have like a lot of power struggles in your house, or you're just going at it with that one kid you got, it really says a lot about you. It says you need new tools. You need new approaches. It means your parenting approach is probably ready to change. It's like the definition of insanity, right? We've got to find a better way to find a sweet spot with this kid and share power more effectively.
Yeah.
Does that sound like good leadership thinking?
It does. I know it can be hard. I'm trying to think of a situation where like you've got a parent, maybe you're in a family, you know, maybe it's a broken family and it's a teenager and they're rebellious and the things they're doing are dangerous and you don't want to give them any power because any power that they have, you could see they abuse it. They go down the wrong path all the time. So it can be hard for us parents to try and figure out that balance.
You're actually articulated there something that people like never talk about. There's a lot of parents out there with like a 7th grader, 8th grader, 9th, 10th grader, and they just got this kid, you know, on wraps, like Saran wrapped up.
Yeah.
Because they feel like anytime they give them a little freedom or a little power, the kid just abuses it. And now they're trying to punish them, ground them, you know, keep them safe. And the kid is not having it. It's like, I'm, you know, in seventh grade, I'm in 10th grade. Like, leave me alone. Like, give me freedom. And it's just creating power struggles. If that's you, you definitely need to join my membership and get some new tools, because I'll help you solve that very quickly. Yeah, that's super painful.
Have you ever had a client, though, give, like, okay, let me ask it this way. Have you ever had a client not want to give their child power because they're abusing it, but then you advise them to give them more power, and then the child abuses it even more and tumbles even more?
Definitely, all the time.
So that worry that we have kind of makes sense as to why we want to pull the reins back.
It sure does. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole different like podcast. That's a different conversation, because does that mean the parents made the wrong choice?
No, it probably we need more tools.
Yeah, it needs more tools. We need more holistic approach, because that's the thing. You can't just parent your kid to try to protect them all the time. Yeah,
right.
You've got to have a plan for if they do fail. And this is why, on a side note, you know, there's like power struggles happen all the time with every child. They should be happening. If you don't have power struggles in your home with your one child, then your child is probably suffering from people pleasing, and there might be some issues there going on.
Yeah.
But just a little side note, defiance is different than power struggles.
Okay.
Defiance is like the next level of power struggles. Now, the power struggles might feel like defiance, as your kid saying no to you. I won't listen. I won't do that. But just to differentiate, in my mind, as someone who's been in this space for 25 years, this is not about actual pure defiance. This is more about everyday painful power struggles that are a little bit like defiant, but they're not hardcore defiance. Is that okay that I said that?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did, because I think a lot of us can't separate that in our mind. And that makes sense with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Saying no and not doing something. You know, I think about my kid when I say, hey, I need you to do this. No. And you do this. No. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give him a little freedom, and then they'll do it. But you're saying like, no, this is like not only no, but I will never do this, and I will never listen to you, and I hate you. And then it goes down to just
I'm
going to
do it anyway. And and this is why, if you have defiance in your health, you definitely need professional help, because you want to get that what's young before you get to the teen years, because it's more manageable when they're younger. But it's definitely manageable if you have a really defiant teenager. Don't worry, I can help you with that. Have hope. All right, man.
Thank you. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, we need to hear that. Right, we can get through that. All right, man. So, all right, I got 7 action steps now, what we can say out of our mouth. So here, we're in a good head spot. We calmed our emotions. We're not joining the circus just because it came to town. Our kids aren't listening. And we're in that spot, and we are about, you know, we are, instead of we're going to lose it, we're going to make 7 good choices. And I could probably give you 30 tools, but I've just got 7 here today for how to thrive with power struggles.
Perfect. Thank you. Let's go. We'll start with number one.
All right, man. Well, some of these things, especially the first, you know, two, is something that we talk a lot about here. All right. They talk a lot about, you've heard me say this before, but this is how people learn. They've learned from repetition and practice and trying something. Okay. Realize that in these hot button moments, one of the reasons why your child, you know, might not be listening to you is not what we discuss, is because they want power. That would make sense. That's what we're going to focus on. It's just because your child is really disconnected from you in that moment. They're not really thinking about you. They don't care.
Right.
And they don't care how their defiance or their bad choice, they don't care about how it impacts you or your feelings. You with me?
Yeah. So we just had a situation happen at the house where one of our kids was sitting on the couch, hanging out. We just got our little one to bed, and we go down. We're getting ready to watch a family movie, and we notice the kid's under the blankets. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. I'm like, what's wrong? It's like, nothing. Just come down here. So we go down there. And then immediately when we went down, the kid throws the blankets off, says, I'm going upstairs. Don't follow me. And just runs upstairs. We're like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. What is going on here? Right? And trying to ask questions. Are you okay? No, I'm fine. I just want to go to bed. Leave me alone.
Really good example.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Come to find out, long story, even longer.
Yeah.
He had like a tummy issue, and he was like worried about throwing up, and he hates it. He's so scared about throwing up. But what was happening is he was being very rude and mean to everybody around the family. Yeah. And at first we were worried something was wrong, and we had to tell him like, hey, I'm so sorry you feel sick, but you got to let us know, like, you're being mean to us right now. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And because he had no idea.
Love it.
He was just like, I don't feel good.
So step one is to do what Jordan just articulated. I called on my notes. I call it hot connection. Hot connection. I recently changed a light in my house and I had to go down to break the fuse box. So I turned the fuse off so there's no power. So I fixed it and then I turn it back on. Connection looks like in the hot mud, it's messy and it's like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? What's happening? What's happening between us? Are you okay? Let's talk to me. It's about, instead of you reacting, it's about you connecting. And this is hard because you don't like what you're seeing. You don't like it. You want to punish it. You want it to go away. But that's what Jordan just did in that story, right? You kind of like, we're like, I need to connect with this kid and find out what's going on.
Yeah. And we needed to ultimately tell this kid that, like, hey, your actions are making us feel sad and upset. And even though you don't mean, like, just so you know, that's how we feel.
Yeah, man.
And then it was like, well, and then, you know, okay, I'm sorry. I'm not meaning to. I don't feel good and I don't want to throw up or whatever it is. Yeah. But they didn't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. They had no idea.
You know, what's interesting is that if you go on social media, you see a lot of videos from me and people like me that are talking about the disconnected child and how to connect, like connection before correction.
Right.
But when I was teaching my membership recently, we had a scene, we made a moment about how we often don't talk about the disconnected parent. Because if you were really disconnected at that time, let's say you were really busy with work, you were just in a selfish spot, you
just had a movie on,
two beers in, you were in a movie, it's a billion things.
Sure.
You probably wouldn't have responded that well. You chose voluntarily out of love to connect with a child because you wanted to, you became connected.
Yeah, and it was a conversation between me and my spouse about how should we react in this situation? Mm-hmm. And we kind of said, well, and then I thought about you and what, you know, you teach. And it's like, no, we need to go up there in a minute and just check in. Say, hey, you okay? What's going on? And try to get answers. And then my thought was, well, if we don't get answers then maybe we let it breathe for a little bit and then check it back again.
It's good leadership. Everyone think about this for yourself. I try to do this a lot. Next time you're in your kitchen, next time you're in your living room, just ask yourself, am I connected right now to my family?
Right. Next time you're sharpening the knives, getting really, how's it going?
I think what you'll find, at least what I found for me, is that I'm really not connected sometimes.
Yeah, me too. And we're sometimes I have to have a reality check. Like, dude,
it's reality check.
You haven't sat down with this kid in a while. Go sit. We're not connected.
Yeah. Right. We expect our kids to be connected to us, but we're not connected. We're just looking at our phones. We're thinking about work. We're cleaning the house.
Yeah.
We're thinking about dinner. We're thinking about ourselves and we're really not connected. So if we're going to thrive with power struggles, it's really about that. Getting connected hot in those hot moments.
Maybe on that chores list that we have that we're all worried about getting done and that every kid's doing, maybe at the end of them, you put have fun. And make sure there's a moment there of like pure fun time.
That's good. That's connection. That's like connection. All right. Point action step number two. I think you're really going to like this one. I'm really into this one. Okay. Slow down and use good words.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Let me explain.
That's a good one. Okay. Slow down.
Let me give you an example.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Use wise words. I was just talking to a buddy who had a very deep conversation with his nephew. And I'm like, dude, that was so wise. He's like, honestly, in that moment, I had no idea what was going to come out of my mouth. And it just came out that way. And I'm like, it's amazing. Like sometimes I can't get the right word out.
Yeah, that's good. Here's a couple words for those hot button moments for power struggles. Here's an example. Use the word power in the conversation. Let's just give me a scenario. I had a power struggle recently, one of my teenagers. So I'll just try to give you a little sample of that. It's like, hey, like, you know what's going on here? I think what's going on is like, you really want this. And I really want that. And it's different. And we're like having this power struggle. And that makes sense. You want control over your life. And this is where I'm at on that topic. See what we just did right there? We just like slowed down and we used good words to talk about what's actually going on.
Yeah, the situation. Power,
right? You the situation.
It down on the table. Here's the blueprint of what's happening.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's like, and if you have power struggles, oftentimes what's happening is there's high emotions involved, and the emotions are a child will feel controlled or disappointed, and a parent will feel disappointed and unheard. These are common emotions. So use good words means, hey, are you feeling controlled right now? Yes, I am. All right. Well, okay. I don't want you to feel controlled. How can we do this in a way so you don't feel controlled? Or here's another sample.
Give me what I want.
Hey, I'm not ready to give you what you want. I need you to do these things, and I love you, and I don't want you to feel controlled. I know this is really hard for you. You probably feel very disappointed. Yes, I do.
You're making me do them.
Yeah, I get it. See, what happens is when you use good words, people feel heard, they feel seen, and they're more likely then to cooperate and do what you want them to do. That's the power of good words.
That's good. All right. Like that. Thank you for that.
Number three. Remember this, everybody. Memorize this. Teaching moments don't happen in the moment. When you think about that, what do you think of?
I think that most of us want to do the teaching in the moment. Come here, I'm going to give you a spanking. I'm going to ground you. I told you once, if I have to tell you one more time, I don't know how we can keep our cool in some of those moments because we're all hot.
Right, but nothing good's going to come out when you're super hot. You're going to shock yourself. Like, you know, if you try to do work on a fuse that's hot,
I'm so glad you turned it off, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I'm
so glad you turned it off.
Right? No, like you're trying to, you know, if your child is deregulated and then you become deregulated, I mean, deregulation everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It's about coming back to the moment. This is where I think sometimes, I've said this before, sometimes my wife and my family get upset at me because I don't do a lot of parenting in the heat of the moment because I'm not that good at it. I just don't really know what to say sometimes. I don't like it. It's like, I know they're not listening.
So I'm going to bring up an example because we've talked about this on the podcast before about the idea that we're setting for our family, right? If you get into an argument, if something happens, and let's say you have soccer practice right after and you go to soccer, you're saying, hey, sports are more important than family.
You could, might be.
Right. So, you know, if there's a situation that happens right before, let's say a big event, how am I supposed to not address it in the moment? I can't come back to it after, right? Because it would disrupt the teaching. process.
Yeah, you still got to take the kids to school, take them to soccer. You got the different responsibilities. You can't just sit down and talk for their kid for 30 minutes, you know, when you have four other kids. So, yeah, so it's more like this, is that think of it this way. Some people, they really struggle with people pleasing or avoidance.
Yeah.
And what they don't do is they don't parent. They don't speak up. They don't guide because they're afraid of conflict.
Right.
They're afraid of how their kid is going to manipulate them or call them names. And so they back down and they don't ever come back. They never circle back to do the teaching.
Right.
And then the other more popular type parent is the more emotional, reactive parent who in the heat of the moment, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're giving pep talks, they're threatening, they're doing quick punishments.
Right.
And they don't come back either. Except when they come back to apologize.
You know, we all need like that accountability partner, right? It's like you've got parents, you know, that work together in situations like this. And what's great is you can ask your significant other, like, what should we do in this situation? You can talk it out. Sometimes it can be hard for single parents. We don't have that other person
to go to, or
we try to go to the other person and they give you the exact wrong information.
Oh, right.
We all need like a self, like a coach, like someone who can help us.
Well, that's the goal, to make your spouse, you know, your lover, that person, helper.
Right.
Like I think Danielle's definitely my helper and I'm her helper. And sometimes she doesn't like my helping. Sometimes I don't like her helping, but yeah, that's the goal, right? To help each other in these things, because that's another way of seeing teaching moments don't happen in the moment. Another way of saying that is, parents, make sure you circle back.
And is it okay? I'm going to just kind of be vulnerable here. Is it okay to circle back to our high school or our middle school and say, hey, this happened. You know, this happened. I don't know how to parent this right now. You've caught me off guard. I don't understand.
Incredible. Right. That's actually step number four.
Oh,
that's
okay?
That's it. That's exactly
it. Okay. Not to know what to do sometimes.
Action step number four is not as beautiful as what you just said. I just have written down, you know, talk calmly about the power struggle.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And that's kind of what you did. You're like, I don't know how to do this. It doesn't feel good. I don't like this. We're having a power struggle.
Right.
And imagine if you're a child or a teenager and your parent comes to you in a really loving, calm way and says, hey, like, we're having a power struggle about this and it doesn't feel good for either of us, huh?
Right. The reality is I want to lock you up and never let you see the light of day again, but I can't do that. And I'm not going to do that to you.
Right.
But I just know that it really hurt me.
Right. You're really connecting heart to heart. You know, it's like I recently had a little blow up with one of my kids in the car. And
yeah,
I said some things that felt right at the time, but it did not land well on their ears. They felt snapped at and threatened and they felt like I was harsh. So I circled back.
Okay.
Because I'm not in the mood for freaking doing like a hard talk when I'm driving a car sometimes. You know what I mean? Some people love that car ride time. But in the heat of the moment, I need like 20 minutes to cool down, dog. I get heated. You know, I'm just trying to chill out, dude. And
so did you have to wait till after the car ride?
So yeah, circle back and be like, well, you know, what happened there? Like I thought I handled myself well. Did I not? And my kid is like, no. And then they're telling me how they felt. And I'm like validating that. I'm listening and we're working it out.
Okay.
After the heat of the moment. So talk about the power struggle. Use the term, we're having a power struggle. So how can we work together? Use we language. We've got to work this out. I love you. I don't want to discipline you. I don't want to remind you. But this keeps happening. It has to stop. And I need to do a better job of teaching you and guiding us and leading us. See, that is very inviting. That's leadership type talking.
Yeah. Are there ever situations though, and you don't have to talk about your daughters, but maybe different clients, where the other party, the kid in the situation, is like, no, I'm not, you're not fooling me with this false sense of security. You're going to just yell at me again. You're just going to, you know, get mad at me again.
You know what? Here's a two-part response. I think the child that says that is, there's lacking trust in that relationship.
Of course.
Child doesn't trust the parent.
Of course. That
reveals more about the parent than the child. The child's like, I don't trust you.
Right.
Right?
Right. So as a parent, we just have to like walk the walk.
You got to walk
the walk. Broskies, bras. We got to walk the walk.
You got to prove to them that you know, you say, you mean what you say.
Yeah.
You say what you mean.
Okay, what's action step number five?
Number five, you're gonna love this because you love good, strong parenting. I love this about you. You bring this to the show a lot. Sometimes when I'm a little soft, you're like, no, Sean, we got to say no. We got to be strong. So when you hear the term empathetic limits, what do you think of, Jordan? Empathetic limits. Action step number five, empathetic limits.
I can feel this. I'm just going on a limb here. I can feel what my kid is going through up to a certain point. And then I think you're being a little dramatic or a baby.
That's what you think.
That's what I think.
That's not what the tool means. I can be empathetic.
I can be empathetic to you up to this point. And it's like, okay,
that is what,
let's go.
That is
pull up
your britches on this,
and let's go. All
of those britches. What are britches, by the way? I actually do not know. What are they?
I don't know. It's an old term for pants.
Is it?
Come on. Yeah, britches.
Pull up your britches. Why don't we call them? Why don't we use that term?
I don't know.
Anymore?
I'd have to look up the history. That's funny, though. Here, I'm going to bring it back.
About this. Some parents are really good at setting limits, saying no, setting boundaries. That's good. We all want to be good at that. And some parents are really good at empathy, just feeling with their kids, emotionally connecting, right?
Right.
And just being close with their kids. Our goal is we want to be good at both. What empathetic limits is you are going to say no to your kid. You're going to say no to your little toddler. Do not touch the freaking buttons on the elevator. You're going to say, no, we're on an escalator. Right. I'm grabbing your hands.
Yes.
I'm grabbing your hands. It doesn't matter what you say. One of my go-to tools is, and we all have this tool. I want to hear what your tool is. This tool, when I break this tool out, people listen in this house. The kids listen. Hey, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's good.
If you hear that from me, it means that's it, man. This is it. Do you got a tool like that? You can't abuse your tool. Like your go-to?
I think it's just like, hey, no, I'm serious.
That's your go-to?
Yeah. Like, hey, no, I'm serious right now. Like, just so you know, I'm not joking around. Like, we're done. You know, like,
how many people listen?
Stop hitting your sister. Stop hitting your brother. Stop fighting. No, it's so funny. Let's tickle me. Aha. Guys, someone's going to get hurt. Aha, ha, ha. It's so fun. Okay, now I'm serious because I know you're going to get hurt. Stop.
Yeah, okay. And they stop.
Now they'll stop. Yeah,
they stop. Yeah, we want to have that go-to. We don't want to abuse it. We don't want it to be super toxic or traumatic. We don't want to have to scream. We have to have one of those. We have to have those tools in our toolbox to be good parents. You know, how many of parents listen to this? They use the tool like John Michael Anderson, the full name,
the middle name, the full name.
Daniel 100%. Marie Mini, Daniel right. Marie Mini. Right?
Yep.
The full name.
The
That's
full name
go-to.
Gets it. That's so good.
Right? My parents did not use that. Sean Patrick Donahue. No. No.
What about this one? This one that never works. You better or else.
Oh.
Or, else.
I bet you some people that's their go-to. It's like,
that might be their go-to.
Go time.
Or you better not do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. You better not do it. Try.
Last night, my 7-year-old was bothering one of the teenagers and her boyfriend, and the teenager said stop, like she's cuddling touching,
right?
And so now the teenager's calling me in, dad, can you help here,
right? Like, I said stop,
right?
Yeah, because so I'm coming in now because ultimately she's gonna be like, because if not, I'm about to, you know,
right,
maybe smack her.
And I need to show up right there, because I'm actually, if I don't show up, then I'm gonna lose trust with my teenager. Like, I'm calling for help here. I've asked her nicely. And I'm calling for help. And if I do not step up with good parenting right now, then I am not doing good parenting. I'm losing trust with the teenager. I'm losing trust with the teenage boyfriend. I'm not protecting their harmony and their chill vibes that they're just trying to. And I'm not doing good parenting. And so I looked at my 7-year-old and I got the eyes, right? The tough eyes. And I put the two fingers up. And you can't see this if there's a
back
podcast.
And forth.
And I went back and forth, like, get away, right? Like. Like that, the harsh look, and I'm moving the two fingers like I'm directing traffic. And I thought it was good parenting.
That's a good parent, but can you
it didn't go well, dude.
Oh, it did. Because I was going to say
something. She started
crying,
man. She started crying.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
She started crying.
And then she tattletailed on me to mom. She said, Daddy scared me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like the family coach, man. I'm scared.
My gosh.
7-year-old kids.
No, that was
and I talked to her about it. I circled back.
No, that was daddy's being mean. No, and you weren't being mean. You were telling her to step up to the plate.
That's actually
respect.
I tried to listen, but also I don't know if I would be defensive. I was like, no, I wasn't. I didn't feel like I was scaring you, but see, I don't want to manipulate her because she felt scared. So yeah,
but
yeah,
she could also be lying. She's seven. She could
exactly,
say that.
I know. Like, so it was a fine line. Be like, I wasn't trying to scare you. I was trying to send you a message nicely without raising my voice or without embarrassing you in front of the teenagers. That was my way of saying, they told you to get away, get away.
Now for us, we hear mom, dad all the time. So we get to a point where we're like, listen, we're not the police. We're not the referee.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring it out. Figure it out yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Unless you have someone hitting or verbally, that is normally an often good choice. Now, there's a lot of episodes on that too. We have on how to thrive with sibling rivalry. That's for a different episode. So what empathetic limits is saying no, but saying in a nice, calm, loving way. Like, you know what? I know it's hard. I know you want to play in this pool. The pool is awesome. It feels so good, but we do need to go. I need you to come out of the pool right now. I've already told you the warning time is up. I need you out right now. With teenagers, it'd sound differently, right? It's just like, it's just a really great, it's like if there's 10 parenting tools that were in your top 10 toolbox, you got to put empathetic limits in your top 10.
Right. And there's got to be a few. We all have our own little niche go-to of what we need to do in that moment. So respect it. Don't overuse it. Don't abuse it. But
good recap.
Let the kids know. Yeah. Like when this is said, it's time. Yeah. It's time.
Before I tell you what the next tool is, tool six out of the seven, let me ask you this. Let's say that you wanted something really bad.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Make a promotion.
Cybertruck,
or you just want to have sex with your wife, or I went there, or you just wanted to buy something, you know, like a new lawnmower. And your wife was like, right. No.
Right.
And then you're like, please, this is really important to me. I want a lawnmower. I want sex. I want Cybertruck. I want these things.
Sure.
And she wasn't being empathetic limits at all. She's just being limits. No, stop asking. Like, would you feel cared for? Would you feel powerful in this relationship?
No, of course not. I mean, the jokester in me would be like, well, listen, if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to go find someone who will.
Yeah.
But that's obviously
a joke. Yeah.
That's a jokester.
Now, but let's say
you have to have a healthy conversation here. You can't have one person in charge of all your finances or all. Yeah, you
right. That's not good marriaging. That's correct. Not good loving. Now let's double down. Not only the person says no, your wife saying no. You're never going to get a Cybertruck. You're never going to get a lawnmower. They bring in never. They bring in time. And they're bringing in a psychology of hopelessness. No, you're never going to get a new truck until that thing dies. We're never having sex again. Okay. We're never
you
doing
will never
this,
touch
ever.
Me.
Yeah. No, don't stop asking. Now, you've not only got the no,
but you got
now
time
is involved. And there's no hope. Hopelessness. How are you feeling now?
Disrespected. Not heard, obviously. Not even cared for. Yeah. There's no respect left in the relationship. Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling hopeful that one day you will get a lawnmower or Cybertruck or sex? Or are you feeling hopeless?
No, I would move on to past like more extremes. Like, no, I'm feeling one day like I will no longer be with you because you're treating me like
this. Yeah, you're getting dark.
Right? You're getting to the point where you're like, what's the point? Why am I
dark?
Here? Why am I with this
exactly.
person? Yeah.
So when you think about power struggles, you want to think about power. You want to think about empathy, but you also want to think about hope. So if you're taking notes at home, how to thrive with power struggles, I want you to write down the psychology of hope. Here's what I've learned is that I say no to my kids all the time. I've learned that if I say no, what I'll often do is I'll use this tool and I'll give them something to be hopeful about.
Okay.
So, for example, we don't allow our kids right now to listen to rap music with bad lyrics. We also don't allow our 7-year-old to listen to Taylor Swift. We don't allow our...
How dare you?
We don't allow Taylor Swift's new album in the house because it's very sexual.
Not Tupac. You were listening to Tupac back in the day, bro.
Ooh, I still do, man. Yeah, let's go. But I'm a 45-year-old man. Yeah, Tupac. And let me think what else we say no. There's
ice cream after
things.
Dinner, ice cream after dinner, or no, yeah. I mean, after bedtime.
Sure. We don't allow
up too late. Rated R movies.
Billion things. So what I've learned to say is, you know what? When you're older, you'll be able to do that. And so just hang tight and just be patient. Or you know that the answer is no right now, but just have hope. When you get older, you'll be able to do that. And I just say in a nice, loving way, I want to give our kids hope that we care about them, we see them, and that if we say no to them, just realize that the answer is going to be yes one day, because the answer is yes to all those things. The fact is that my kids are going to be able to listen to whatever they want to, you know, and when they're older.
Yeah. And we did that with Fortnite, you know, now they're to the age where they're playing some video games when you're older.
Yep.
I like that because you are putting a timeline on it, but it's open-ended. It's just like, okay, well, it's the next day, tomorrow. Dad, I'm older now. I'm a day older. Can I now listen to you? Like,
no, kid. I wasn't talking about that older.
Right. Right.
Dad, I'm older.
I use this a lot. This is good.
It sounds like what a 9-year-old, that's what it sounds like your son would say.
Well, Dad, it's been an hour. I'm an hour older. You said when I'm older. Like of course. They're so, you really, what was the word for that?
Right.
They're so, I can't think of the word for it, but I have a kid like that. I'm like, seriously, dude, that's not what I said.
So hope sounds like this too. If you got a teenager with curfew issue, hey, this is our curfew right now, but you know what? Summer's coming up. And if we keep talking well, keep close, keep good communication, we're going to give you a longer curfew this summer. And then the following summer, it'll be even later. And then the next summer it'll be even later. And by the time you're like, you know, junior or senior high school, it's going to be so late.
Yeah.
And like senior year, I didn't even have a curfew. I don't think you should even have curfews for kids that are seniors in high school. I think seniors should be so free to live their lives, be good roommates and good participants in the family. But we want to give them so much freedom so they can feel empowered. And then you get a sample of what your kid is going to
be like,
choose with all that freedom because they still live in the house.
Right.
And that is a whole different, we should do a whole different episode on how to
in high school. That's good. Yeah. You give them something. We have conversations on vehicles, what kind of vehicles I want versus my wife wants. My kids will be like, hey Dad, can I spend money on this? And it's always like, you can, but I'd also like you to do this. Right. And we try to balance and come up with an agreement together. Good.
All right, we came to point number seven. And point number seven is not super sexy. It's probably something you've heard before. But I wanted to leave it last because I think that if you don't have number seven down, you're going to really struggle with power struggles. Number seven is be a predictable parent. Here's what this means. Some parents are very unpredictable. They don't have a regular bedtime for their kids. One day the kids get this much screen time, and the next day they get this much screen time. One day the rule is this day, and then the next day the rule is this.
Yeah.
And then what happens is the kids are confused, and then they realize that I cannot predict how my teacher is going to react. So I can just try to manipulate them with whining, yelling, arguing, convincing. And then if you have a kid who's really good at arguing or debating or manipulating, you have to realize you did that. You created that. You taught them that you're so unpredictable that you could be swayed emotionally. So to really be good with power struggles, you've got to become predictable to little children and to teenagers. What are your thoughts on this?
I want to write that on like my vision board or like somewhere that I see it every day. Have my alarm go off in the morning and say, be a predictable parent. Because that's great. You've talked about this a lot. Kids like routine. They like to know what you're going to do as a parent. Yeah. And if you say something and don't follow through, there's so many situations out there where the kids can go out of control because they have no recourse from their parents. It's like they pretend to use their words to scare them, and then there's no action.
Yeah. So like right now we have some rules, you know, like one teenager has a lot of freedom with having like a boy in the house because she's 19. And the other teenager is much younger.
Right.
And we have rules like boy is not allowed in the bedroom and the boy is not allowed over here. And you're not allowed here. And, and it would be really foolish and bad parenting if we just kept changing that every day or every week.
Yeah.
Or we're like, where are you going? How's it going? It'd be so hard if a teenager's like, well, what's my curfew tonight? I was like, well, it should be the same time every Friday and Saturday, right? It should be predictable. And with our kids, they need that because even younger kids are just always up and down. And that is what good parenting is, predictability.
So I'll be vulnerable real quick for a second before we wrap things up. One of the things that we have a hard time with is, you know, obviously tech time is such a big thing, but like I'll make up excuses in my mind. I'll be like, okay, let's say something happens today. And like tomorrow, no tech, no nothing. You guys have lost your privilege because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then comes tomorrow and they've been good. And one of the kids is a, you know, sports player and it has an extreme, a big responsibility. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Because they're going to be doing this.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So then I make it okay, which then could be very confusing for them and confusing for me.
I do that. Dude, I do that same thing because my 7-year-old, she just got me wrapped around her finger, man. Is that the expression, wrapped around your finger?
Yes. Yeah.
She's just my last kid. She's my little baby girl. And yeah, I struggle.
Mommy,
with that.
Daddy scared me with his eyes.
I know. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Versus like, I didn't scare you, kid. Come on.
Right. Just, like, come on.
I actually still don't know if she was trying to manipulate me or if she had genuinely been scared.
Well,
I think
she
was
cried,
genuinely scared.
So she was probably scared.
Yeah, I don't know. She cried. She made it look like she was crying. That's why you might be onto something here. Anyway.
Dude, you are training a dragon, dude. It's
training
so
a dragon. That's a movie, How to Train a Dragon. What does
but
that mean?
When she gets older, I just mean she's going to be like, she's going to be tough on you as she gets older.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
You are going to have a hard time.
I'm doing the best I could. Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that our kids are not robots, that our kids speak up to us. I'm thankful that we are our kids' person. And they can go out in the world and they do just fine. They obey people. They don't challenge them. But they, when you are your kid's person, they stand up to you and they work with you and they challenge you. And I'm thankful for all the tough, hard-nosed kids in the world, mine and yours, and everyone is listening. And I'm thankful for these power struggles because they help us all to grow and improve in love.
Well, I'm kind of speechless. I don't have anything specific other than I'm just thank you for going through this, because this is something that a lot of us don't talk about. You know, we could have some of the best friends in our neighborhood and we've never really talked about parenting. We just hang out, you know? And so it's really cool to have a platform where you could actually like talk through it. So thank you.
And if you want to go deeper with me, I'll see you in the membership.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a good parent. Oh my gosh, family life and parenting is so hard. I hope today gave you some tools and some inspiration. And if you're enjoying this podcast, then please do me a favor. Leave us a positive review on your podcast provider. And if you're hearing this and you're struggling as a parent, your family is struggling, or you need parenting tools for that one challenging, struggling kid, well, I will see you in a live Zoom call inside my VIP membership, and I will give you the specific tools you need to solve every problem you have and to stay strong, be close, and teach wisdom.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.